This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two. We'll get more into it here in this second hour. We'll get you caught up on the NBA playoffs, look ahead to those conference finals. We'll look ahead to this Giants series for the Royals, which could be a little trouble. Based on what we've been seeing lately, Tommy is. Tommy, I think you're barking up the wrong tree with this poll. I think most people are going to be with me on the not taking golf quite as seriously. Rick,
it's not taking golf super seriously. It's following the rules. It's like, you know, if you're going to
by switching balls, you think the majority of listeners out there are concerned when they play golf about using a different ball
when you're using a range ball? Yes. I
hit
do.
Over water. You act like I've got a bag full of range balls.
It's against the rules of the game.
We'll see how that goes. We'll see how that goes for you. Rick says you're good. We're not pros. I use cheap nitro
balls.
Great,
Rick. At least you're using an actual golf ball for the course. It'd be different if you're like, oh, I've got a bag full of range balls, and that's all I do to play.
I'm using a tennis ball out there. All right. We'll let that. Tommy's got a pull up, though. Is it fine, or should he be calling penalty strokes? If I use a range,
and keep in
ball
mind, in mind, we've golfed multiple times, and I've never called a penalty on you about it.
No, you haven't, because that would be the lamest thing ever. I've played golf 1,000 times with 1,000 people.
Should I?
And I would say you're the only person who's ever even said anything about.
I'm not
that.
The only. I can't be the only person.
You're literally
that has
the
ever
only
said,
person.
Oh,
I've
you're
ever
literally picking up your golf ball in the middle of the fairway, and you're dropping a range ball down. Like, that's against the rules of the game. Against the spirit of the rules of the game.
I've never played with anybody who's ever said a word about anything like that. But let's see how the poll goes. So that's out there. Scheffler gets a win. Scheffler's got us thinking golf. That's what that's the beauty of Scotty Scheffler and what he could do again for the game. And I think Rory was the first one to do it post-Tiger. I think Jordan Spieth had... it feels like that was brief. Maybe it wasn't brief. You'd remember better than I would of like, could this be the guy? But Scotty's done it. Scotty's united us partly because of the year ago anniversary of the him getting arrested thing. I think that added to the lore a little bit, but I do think like pop culture golf, he's probably the most pop culture golf we've had. Maybe like the casual observer would be like, oh, what's Scotty doing? I think he's captured that part of like the general sports audience a little bit. I hope so, because I think that, you know, that's so great for the game of golf. So that's what has us talking golf here today. Let's talk a little bit, Tommy, about the NBA playoffs, because they're here. The Thunder, like that, we're kind of surprised, right, that series even got to seven games, but the Thunder take care of business. They win it big in game seven. Big. That game was never close. The Knicks took care of business. That's sort of how the weekend wrapped up. So now we have the conference finals. Thunder, T-Wolves. The Thunder open tomorrow night, game one, as 7.5-point favorites. And then in the East, it's Knicks, Pacers. The Knicks, 4-point favorites at home in that opener. I mean, there's not – now we're to the point – injuries aside, because they've been such a big part of this postseason, but – I mean, any combination here, nobody's going to be surprised, right? This should be a great conference finals. Like, you've got Knicks fans all over the world that are like, could this be the one? And the answer is like, yeah, it could be. Like, it really could be. Now, you've got the upstart. Are the Pacers upstarts? They're probably a little bit of upstarts.
Are. I'd call them
the
that.
The Timberwolves are not, even though they're like a 6 seed. I think everybody thought the Timberwolves had this in them. And then, of course, the Thunder have been the best team all year. I like it. I think this will be a fun conference finals here.
I know Minnesota will have something to say about this, but I still think that there's a reason why the Thunder are the top team as far as odds are concerned to win the NBA Finals. I think that they will win the Western Conference Finals. I think that it doesn't matter if it's the Knicks or the Pacers. I think that they'll beat them in the NBA Finals, and I think we're on pace, we're on track for an Oklahoma City championship. And again, I think the T-Wolves probably have something to say about that. Anthony Edwards probably has something to say about that. But just in the way that Oklahoma City dismantled Denver yesterday, I know it took 7 games, and there's a part of me where I'm like, what took you so long to be able to do that? Because that's what we wanted to see from the Thunder all along in the semifinals. But they looked every bit of the top team in the NBA yesterday in the way that they took down Jokic and the entire crew there from Denver.
Okay, so they are pretty heavy favorites, right? They're minus 175. The Knicks are plus 450. The T-Wolves are 6-1, and the Pacers are 8-1. That's telling there. I think, you know, Vegas obviously thinks the Thunder are for reals. I think of any of those, like, bets, probably the T-Wolves would be the bet at 6-1. I think their odds are a little inflated because they would obviously have to get through the Thunder to get there. But I do think in a finals, they'd be favored over either of those Eastern Conference teams. Just a guess on my part, though. So, yeah, they're the favorite. I think what's interesting about the Thunder to me is if the Thunder are able to get this done, what does that mean long term for the league? Because the Thunder, like, the T-Wolves have the best player, right? They've got Anthony Edwards. He is making a case to be the best player in basketball this year. And then you've got the Thunder, who have this insane depth. They have so many good players, all these young players. Like, they sort of, you know, they have it all. And yes, they have their star in SGA too, but they have a lot of star power.
They're
right?
Very
they've
balanced.
Got a lot of guys that can come at you and do this stuff with a roster that, like, doesn't feel like it's going anywhere anytime soon. So if they're able to get through and get it done this year, what does it mean? We wondered the same thing about Denver, and they haven't been able to get back there. We wondered the same thing about Milwaukee, and they hadn't been able to get back there. But the Thunder do feel a little different than both of those teams to me because they have so much depth, right? They don't have the SGA is great. They don't have that, but, you know, I think there could be some staying power.
They're very balanced. I loved their game plan in Game 7 yesterday. And Alex Caruso, defensively, by the way, was phenomenal. And he jumped all over Jokic. And he's got, I mean, there's quite a decent size disparity between Jokic and Caruso. It was almost kind of like Caruso was like that annoying fly that was like buzzing around Jokic's head, and Jokic had to keep like trying to swat him away. But he really disrupted what Jokic wanted to do in the game. And the game plan for Oklahoma City was basically throw everything they could in the kitchen sink at Nikola Jokic and then let a hobbled Aaron Gordon try to beat them. And Gordon wasn't able to do that. And Michael Porter Jr. didn't contribute. Christian Brown didn't really do a whole lot in the game. And they threw the kitchen sink at Jokic, and it worked. That was a great strategy, I thought, from the Thunder. And I think that going into the game, most people thought, okay, they're going to go right after Aaron Gordon because he's hurt. And they really didn't do that. They're like, you know what, Gordon, like, go prove it. Like, if you're able to play on that bad leg, go and prove it, and we're going to put our resources elsewhere. And it ended up working in a large way for the Thunder.
I've always said this. One of the reasons I think college basketball is, to me, has become like a great experience is because it's so much easier to understand the nuance of each individual game. In the NBA, like, and I, you hear former players talk about this, and I believe it 1,000%. Like it's next level. Like a lot. Like for me, the nuance in a game isn't quite as crystal clear. And so, yeah, like when you get really great coaching, it's harder to see it. Like, you know, Popovich did it forever. I think Spoelstra in Miami never gets enough credit for how great, like, like when you see it, it's crazy to see it. And yes, the Thunder are doing that. And that's part of their depth, I think. Like, I think it's because they can be so versatile that they can do 1,000 different things in these games. Yes, oftentimes in the NBA, it becomes like a 3-point chuck fest. And I don't like that, but that's basketball in general. But yeah, I think I agree with you on everything you just said about that game. And I can't wait to see the next series because I think you've got great teams. I think you have young ascending teams all the way across the board here with stars that we are, you know, getting accustomed to now in the league. And that's also a really good thing. And we've had this for a while in the NBA. The NBA has been on a heater as far as like spreading the wealth and having this each year in, year out. We haven't had a dynasty in a while, and not since the Warriors. I mean, it's been a long time now since we've had a consistent, you know, dynastic presence in the NBA. And I don't know if that's good for the ratings, but for me, I think it makes the league more fun.
Yeah, I think it does too. I mean, year. Yeah, because it became a foregone conclusion every year, it seemed like, for what, 4 or 5 years, that it was the Warriors. And good luck to anybody else that wants to try to do anything to dethrone them. And now it's a lot more, the parity is there for sure. You've got a lot more competition, which does make it more interesting. I do think it's interesting that in the clinching games, in a couple of them at least, like it was just a throttling. Like, Oklahoma City completely beating up on Denver and the Knicks really beating up on the Celtics. Obviously the Celtics had a bunch of injuries and all of that, but we, in the deciding games, we really haven't seen a whole lot of like nail biters.
Yeah. No, and that's not just in these recent series, but you know, all the way through, it's been really good. It's been really good. It's been a fun postseason. Hopefully that continues and we get great conference finals here into an NBA finals where we learn a lot about some young ascending teams. And you know, I can't help but be happy for Knicks fans here. They've waited a long time for this, and they have a real shot. And that is, to me, that's always been a really fun and cool fan base. So good luck to all of them. If you're a Rogue fan of any of these teams, I think we'll have more Thunder fans than any other. Our guy Brandon Zinner, big T-Wolves fan. Like, there'll be lots of he'll be on with you this week, or next week, during that series. So that'll be fun to get his take on. We'll come back. When we come back, let's look at this. Let's look at this Giants series for the Royals. We'll go back to baseball here. I don't know if you've looked, like the starting pitching they're going up against in this series is good. So we may be in for some more low scoring games. We'll be back with that on Sports Daily. Don't go away.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Hey, you want to win some HTO? You can do that right now. It is getting to be iced tea season, that's for sure. And you can win a free cup on us here at Sports Daily. These will be good for East or West Wichita or down in Derby. All you got to do to win a free cup of tea is text the keyword tea, that's TEA, to 20357. You can enter once per day, message and data rates apply. You can go inside, try them all for free, find out what you like, and then grab that free cup of tea on us. That's T 20357. Good luck, everybody. Welcome back in here to Sports Daily. We'll go back to the Royals here. So we went back through sort of the St. Louis series. Now let's kind of look forward a little bit on the schedule. The Royals have lost 6 of 9 here, which is basically they've lost each of the last three series. They've won one game in each of those series. Now they face the Giants, who are pretty good this year. They'll face Minnesota up next. So you've got the Giants, who are one of the better teams in baseball. When I say they're pretty good by run differential, by record, however you want to look at it, they're playing an insane division right now, but they're really good. You're going to their place and you're playing against three great starting pitchers. So you have that. Then you have Minnesota, who we've well documented has been absolutely on fire, hottest team any team has been in baseball all year long. So that's also on the schedule then. So that's the next week here, Tommy. And then after that, and they're not even, remember, like June is the one where it starts to get, and all these games are on the road this week, by the way. They get a day off on Thursday. Then they go back home to play Cincinnati. Cincinnati, a lot of good young talent there. Terry Francona, they're 500 team. Okay. Then after that, it's Detroit, who again, right now, is the best team in baseball. That's how you finish the month of May. All teams above 500, all teams are at or above 500. Two of those teams are two of the three or four best teams in baseball right now. There are a lot of terms for this. Some of them aren't appropriate for radio, but it is time to get after it. We'll leave it in that one. For the Royals, like this is a part of the problem there's just not ever going to be true schedule relief. They've already done that and they've passed it with flying colors, right? They won, 16 out of 20, whatever it was. Like they stomped that part of their schedule. That's in the past now. It's not there anymore. And I don't think it's going to be. If you look through the rest of the season, they're not going to have a 20-game stretch like that where it's just great opponent after great opponent. It doesn't exist again on the schedule the rest of the year.
The good news with the Giants series, at least here in the short term, is that even though they're going up against three really good pitchers for the Giants, you've got Bubich and you've got Lorenzen on the bump Monday and Tuesday, and Bubich has been phenomenal. And I know it looks like it's going to be him and Robbie Ray tonight squaring off. That's a matchup I want to watch because, I mean, it wouldn't be surprising to me whatsoever if we have another 0-0 game going into the seventh or something. You know what I mean? Right. So I do think that is a silver lining for the Royals going into this series. And with Lorenzen, who's your, by default, your fifth starter in the rotation, he's been really good this year too. And he's probably going up against the weakest of the three Giants pitchers in this series and Hayden Birdsong tomorrow night. And so I think there are a couple of silver linings there for the Royals, at least in the first two games of the series. My big question mark is, what are they going to do in the finale on Wednesday afternoon? Could it be a bullpen game? Could we see an opener? Could we see Noah Cameron move up, you know, a day in the rotation and try to go on short rest? I mean, there are a couple of different scenarios that they could potentially look at for Wednesday's game.
I think it'll probably be a bullpen game. Is Avila, is he a starter?
I don't see anything about that. I don't even see his name anywhere. They called up Evan Sisk when they put Reagans on the IL. It was the reliever Evan Sisk that came up to be on the team, on the big league roster. And so I don't know who Avila is. I don't even see him on their roster anywhere.
Well, he's a listed starter on a site. Let me see if the Royals have even on their own site. Yeah, they have not listed a starter. Maybe it's Sisk. Who know? I don't know. Maybe it's Avila. He's very young, 23. This year in the minors, he has been fine. He's been in Omaha.
Lewinder Avila, is that who you're? Avila, is that who you're looking at from Omaha?
Yeah, Lewinder Avila.
Okay, I don't see any. I don't see the Royals. They didn't call him up. They called up Evan Sisk. Evan Sisk is on. I don't know where you're seeing
starter
that.
Then.
I have no idea.
Somebody's
wrong. He's still in Omaha. Evan Sisk was the guy that they called.
I don't know why he's being projected a starter on CBS Sports, because the Royals don't have a listed starter yet. So either way, it's not going to. I mean, maybe somebody pitches like Cameron, but you're right. That's going to be the spot there that you feel like the offense is going to have to step it up, and that's the best pitcher probably that they'll face. Logan Webb's very good, so.
They could also decide that it could be Daniel Lynch, you know, potentially getting the start. They're not going to call anybody else up because their roster is full at this point with the addition of Evan Sisk, and he's a reliever. If they wanted to bring up another starter, they would have done that as opposed to Sisk calling him up. So it's somebody who's currently on the roster is going to start this game on Wednesday, whether that is a bullpen game with an opener, whether that is Daniel Lynch trying to go, whether that is moving up Noah Cameron a day. Like, there are a couple of different options, but it's going to be somebody who's already in house.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. That was looking at the wrong place, I guess, for that information on my part. Either way in this series, the offense is going to be at a premium. Hopefully both directions, because the Giants have actually been very good offensively this year. They are, you know, a little above league average offensively. And of course their pitching is very good, as it typically is. So can the Royals match it at some point with all the concern that we've talked about? And yes, we're 50 games into the season. And yes, it's a long-term concern that I don't think is going to just solve itself completely. At some point, they will be better than they've been. I still do believe that. I just don't think that's going to be enough still internally. But I do think at some point it'll be better. Could happen at any point, right? Like stuff like that, like all of a sudden a switch could flip. But this isn't good timing for it because the Giants can really, really pitch. Daniel Lynch, boy, if they start him, I hope it's maybe a two or three inning situation in a part of a bullpen game. Because I do think, big picture again, like, he's too valuable right now in the role he's in. If he continues and does this all year, next year when they probably lose some pitchers to free agency, stretch him out and make him a starter like you did with Bubic this year at that point. That would be preferred for me. Now, if any of these injuries are long-term, which we don't think that they are, then I think you can start to think about that. But even then, are you going to let him do it at the big league level, or are they going to have to send him down and let him stretch out? Like that'll be tricky.
Well, here's the other good thing about this game on Wednesday, the finale of the Giants series, is they do get a day off on Thursday. So you can go Bubic on Monday, Lorenzen on Tuesday, and then you can deploy a bunch of relievers potentially on Wednesday in that finale, because they do have a day off on Thursday before you start the weekend series in Minnesota. So you're not up against it to where you've got to try to save pitchers and, you know, limit pitch counts and usage and that sort of thing, because they do have that travel day, that day off on Thursday to get a little bit of rest. And I do think that that's important and probably will play into what kind of strategy they do on Wednesday. If I'm a betting man right now, I would think that they would probably go some kind of bullpen game and just try to stretch it out among, I don't know, four or five different pitchers on that Wednesday, take the day off on Thursday, then have your best chance at a good rotation going into the weekend series in Minnesota.
It does feel a little pressure heavy tonight with Bubic on the mound, though, and as good as he's been to kind of get that win tonight. These are, by the way, these are very late starts. They're like 8:45 starts here locally for us, just so you're aware. The day off thing is interesting looking at it. Tommy, I don't think they play a four-game series again until late June, which means they'll get a day off every week basically for the next month and a half. That's handy probably for them right now. That's probably a pretty good news for them. So the other big news over the weekend for the Royals that we're closely watching is Jack Caglione was called up to AAA. The pipe dream that he might appear in Wichita is officially dead. We probably knew that was dead about a week into the season. Or even before the season started, but he's not going to be in AA late enough in the year, obviously, for him to come to Wichita. So sorry, Windsurge fans and Royals fans here in town. But he's up at AAA now. This is the path Bobby Witt Jr. took. I don't recall when Bobby Witt Jr. got called up the year before he was a major leaguer and how much time he spent in AAA, but that was the path for Bobby Witt Jr. too. Some teams skip AAA. The Royals usually don't because Omaha's right down the street from Kansas City. It's probably easier logistically. And Cags is an advanced hitter anyway, you know, as a college hitter. So getting in there against more grizzled veteran AAA pitching is probably a good thing. So this year for Cags, let's just go back now, because last year he jumped into high A out of college essentially and wasn't great in 30 games, which is not that big a deal. And then he starts the year this year at Northwest Arkansas. And so he hasn't been in the minor leagues. Remember, he was playing college baseball last year. So now he has come in. He's played 40 games, 38. And he's killing it, right? He's got an OPS just under 950. He's getting on base in an incredible clip, which means he is walking. Tommy, his walk to strikeout ratio is pretty good. It's about 2-1 strikeouts to walks, which I think, you know, that's always a concern for younger players. And he obviously is hitting for a lot of power. He's got 9 home runs, 43 RBIs. He just is doing all the things that the Royals lack so desperately. He does those things. And that's why it's always been such a natural, like, well, you've got this top prospect in all of baseball who's passed double A with flying colors. Like, at what point? Listen, I'll be honest. I think the days of worrying about being blocked at first base are long gone. I think when he's ready to hit, if he does this for 2-3 weeks in AAA at the same pace, if he gets 20 games down there and he just continues, I think you got to move him up and you just don't worry about, you know, what's going on elsewhere at the position, because they just have to have somebody there and you'll figure out the other guys can find somewhere else to play.
One of the things that I actually really like about the timing of Cags coming up to AAA is that he'll join Omaha when they're on the road. They don't play at home until the day after Memorial Day. So we're talking a week from tomorrow. They're on a road trip this entire time. I actually kind of like that because he can get accustomed to AAA pitching on the road. And I mean, you can imagine what the crowds are going to be like in Omaha. Like, they've been waiting on Cags to, you know, and probably a lot of them wondering if he would even make a stop in Omaha at all, or just completely bypass the Storm Chasers and go directly to the Royals. But he'll play for Omaha, but at least he gets a few games to get under his belt before he goes and plays at home a little bit. I do like that, as opposed to throwing him right into the fire in front of the home fans in Omaha. He can get accustomed to that a little bit. So I do like that strategy a lot.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he's not in Omaha a very long time. I mean,
I wouldn't either.
I think it's probably a few weeks. Like, it wouldn't shock me if we're talking Cags making his major league debut middle of June, probably. That's kind of where I'm targeting right now in my mind. If he can continue to show the development, and if he hits the way anywhere close to the way that he hit in Double A, I mean, he had an OPS at almost one, right? And so, I mean, it's huge. If he can do even a shred of that in Triple A, I think we're going to see him called up to the bigs sooner rather than later.
Because at the big league level, and I agree, and I think it's been amplified. I think that call up tells us they're amplifying things with him. I don't. Otherwise, they just didn't need to do that yet. And so, yes, I agree. I think we're seeing him on a fast track. What? Watch for one thing though. Watch where he plays positionally. If he's still only playing first base in Omaha, he's probably going to just be a first baseman, and we can count out the possibility of him sliding into a corner outfield spot. So we'll watch that too. But yes, like the thing is, for what he's doing right now, like what would you need him to realistically do to help this big league club? And it's not to come up and do what he's doing in Double A. You can take that, like that expectation can go somewhere else. That would be his expectation in a couple of years after some big league seasoning. Right now, though, if he can just come up and be a 260 hitter with some pop, that is an immediate upgrade to the big league club, right? So if he is significantly worse than what he is doing right now in the minor leagues, and this is why I think AAA will be a good spot for him, I agree. If he can continue what he did in Double A and Triple A for the most part, they don't need the Royals are so desperate for offense right now. He can come up and see his batting average drop 60 points from what it is in the minor leagues. And it will be a significant upgrade right now for this offense, as long as he's still hitting for power. And he almost certainly will still be hitting for power, right? It's just how often is he hitting for power? He's not going to come up to the big leagues and not be able to hit for power. That won't happen. It's just like, how often can he effectively hit for power? He's always going to hit for power. And they just don't have any of that. Vinny's not a power hitter. Like, Vinny, I don't know, has ever been on pace or projected for more than about 20 to 25 home runs a year. Like, he's not, like, he looks like one, but that's not his game. Salvi is, but doesn't look right now. And obviously Bobby Witt Jr. is. But that's it, really, on the roster. Like, that, those are the only guys that are that. And so he comes up potentially and fills such a drastic need for this team who's DAL in home runs and probably will be regardless of any move they make this year, partly because of the park they play in, obviously, but partly because that's just not how they're built. They just don't have a lot of power in the lineup. And it's been a problem for them because they can't drive any runs in.
Yeah, they need Cags to do one thing and one thing only.
One thing.
Driving runs. That's literally
one out of every four at-bats. Yeah. Can you hit the ball with some emphasis, please?
And I don't particularly care how he's driving in runs. I don't care if he's a doubles machine. I don't care if he's smacking home runs out of the park.
Irrelevant.
But the fact that he has consistently shown that he hits the ball so hard, like on the screws, I mean, I think that it's a foregone conclusion that if he can continue, again, even a shred of that at the big league level, it's going to be a success for the Royals. I know we got hung up for a while on what position is he going to play and is it going to be blocked and all of that. And I think for good reason, long term,
right,
that's been the conversation. But right away, I think you have to throw all of that out the window and just know you need him to do one thing if you are the Royals, and that is to drive in runs and stop leaving runners stranded, to stop, you know, getting into a situation where they cannot drive in runs to win ball games. The nice thing about Cags also is that when he inevitably gets promoted to the big league level, he'll also know what his role is. Maybe not in the field, but he'll know, he should know at least, they need me to do one thing, and that is to drive in runs, and that's what I'm going to do.
All right, let's get everybody updated. This golf ball, sometimes content falls into your lap, Tom, and this range ball over water content's been a lot of fun. We got a lot of comments from people. I don't think the poll is going particularly well for you. 90% of the respondents, only like 10 people, are on my side here. So, several people have brought it up, though. Like, if there's money on the line, You can't do that. I completely agree.
But like, we play with we play for money. Like we've played for
And when we played most recently, I didn't pull a range ball out when we were doing that.
Okay, good. I do agree with that. And I think that's the important caveat. There have been several people.
And for me, like that's honestly, like if I'm playing golf and like we're doing that, like if we're actually playing golf and we're doing like I don't get out a foot wedge. I have to ask some of the rules because I'm not completely aware. Like, where's the drop? What does it mean? Like, how do I like, yes, if I'm in a scramble, like if there are any circumstances where this needs to be an official score, yeah, I'm going to do whatever needs to be. I don't know all those rules, but I ask every time. But no, when I'm just out 90% of the time and I don't want to lose a ball, yeah, I'm going to pull out my range ball and I'm going to hit it over water so that I don't lose a ball. That's it for me. I don't have any shame in that.
Yeah. And look, like I do think that, and we didn't talk about it when we put this poll together. We were discussing it earlier in the hour. I do agree with that. I mean, like if we're just out there having fun and like do whatever you want, like give yourself a better lie, swap out a ball. Honestly, I don't care. But I do agree. Like if we've even got $5 on the line, okay, yeah at that point, like
if it's a beer, I don't care what it is. Like, yeah, we gotta. Now I might something I do, and tell me if you ever do this. Something I like to do, like if I'm playing by myself and I'm playing nine holes, like and I'm flying, or if I'm kind of stuck behind somebody, which is totally okay by the way, because I'm playing by myself. I might hit two balls from every spot. Just to give myself more practice. Is that a phobia? I always wonder.
If you're playing by yourself and you're just having a good time doing it, there's no issue. I've done that before. Like, hey, I'm just going to go get some practice in on the course and I'm going to hit a few different balls from different areas. And
spot.
Here's a good example of that. I know like when even PGA Tour golfers are playing practice rounds, they'll go work. I mean, they'll get on the green and they'll go putt multiple times just to get a good feel of the course and of the green. Like that's okay. I have no issue with that whatsoever. But like if you and I were going out and we're playing for $5 or a beer, you know, after the round, at that point, I'm not going to hit multiple balls, you know?
No. I'm not either. And I don't even care if it's like, we're just keeping score to see who wins, even if there's not a wager there. Like if there is anything competitive in it, I can't.
The exception to that would be like hitting a provisional. Like I'm, you know, the ball may have went out of bounds. I'm not sure. I'm going to hit a second one just to be safe and make sure. Like that's totally well within the rules. Like
go find the first and you hit the first. Yeah. Well, that just saves time, right? We're all trying to not clog up a golf course. But anyway, we're getting out there. I think we're going to try to, we're going to have some bragging rights. I don't know how we'll split this up, but friends of the, you know, show and host of the show from time to time, Brandon Zinner, TJ Cleland. We're going to try and get out and play with them this week.
We do, and apparently, according to Max, we have some audio that I think reflects you on the golf course that he would like to share with everybody.
Yeah.
Don't count that. Shit. I was interfered with.
Yes, sir.
By the way, what did Mr. Webb shoot this morning?
Well, he doesn't keep score, sir.
Yes, I know, but just guess. 80, 75?
More like 68, I think.
I mean, that does seem pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Max, what did you say before you hit six right down?
Yell four. Shoot 10 right down three.
Yeah. That's listen, I don't care enough to need to win that bad. I just want my game to be better. Like that's legitimately, and I don't want to spend a fortune on golf balls either. Jason says, not going to lie, I have no idea what a foot wedge is. Jason, that's when you don't like where it is. You just kick it where you want it.
It's one step away from picking your ball up and throwing it down the fairway.
Right. Yeah. Like I'm in the thick rough. There's a 0% chance I'm hitting this ball more than 6 inches. I'm going to kick it out into a better lie. That's a foot wedge. That's why when we're like, oh man, what was your score? Like any foot wedge? Like was that a real score or did you, you know? And so that's what a foot wedge is.
I actually on Saturday played the best round of the year, went out to Crestview, actually took my son out and he's almost four and he hung throughout the entire 18 hole stretch with me. And you know, he would make some swings and hit the ball a few times. He might be my good luck charm because it was the best round I've played all year long.
I played the best nine with my oldest daughter. She came out with me. Whatever. I don't know what night it was. So yeah, maybe our kids are a good luck charm. I'm glad the sun's out later. Cause I'm going to play more like twilight golf now when school gets out. So that, yeah, that's coming.
Yeah. I'm appreciate clearly, everybody. By the way, I'm clearly losing this pool, but that, I mean, that's okay. Yeah. Like I didn't put the clarification of if we're playing for money, like if we're actually playing competitively. Cause I do agree with that. If we're just out there screwing around and having fun, you could do whatever you want and it doesn't bother me and I'm never going to call a penalty on you, whatever. But as soon as we're playing for something, absolutely, you know, yeah. Like at that point we gotta take it seriously.
I agree with that. And I do the best that I can, unless I don't rule. Even in scrambles, I don't, unless, I mean, I suppose if you're just going to be in like last place, then who cares, which is in play for me sometimes. All right. So we got the Royals tonight. We don't have, I don't think we have, do we have hockey tonight, Max? I don't think we do. And I don't think we have NBA tonight either. Do we have any hockey tonight? Do we get at least a little something?
No, not yet.
Man, we got a
Wednesday,
a night off from playoff action and a late night for Royals. So that middle ground, I guess, you know, figure out something to do, but that's coming for you. We talked about Scottie Scheffler. Did you catch any? We didn't, and we'll spend just a couple of minutes. Did you catch any of the Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese?
I mean, I read about it. I don't particularly care.
It was good. You know, it was Caitlin Clark giving a little back. The WNBA's got to milk it. They let that rivalry breathe, let that rivalry like carry the sport into new frontiers. We get it right away, and we get Caitlin Clark a little spicy in there. She kind of went in for a hard foul. It was pretty good. I liked it.
By the way, one other quick note, totally different topic that we haven't mentioned yet. Shocker Baseball does get to play in the conference tournament. They were at risk of missing the conference tournament entirely.
And that starts tomorrow, by the way.
But like they had a good ending to the conference regular season, and they'll head to Clearwater, Florida, with, you know, as the seventh seed in the 18 tournament.
How many times have we said too? Like, remember last year they just kind of caught fire right there at the end. Yep. This was a team on paper that was picked second in the league. So we will certainly be watching. That starts tomorrow, and we'll have more on that tomorrow. Speaking of the Shockers, and tomorrow, we have Paul Mills joining us. Let me check the time on that. I believe it's, early. So 7:15, and I figured it would be early. But they are now allowed, basically, to talk about all these players. He's having a bigger media availability later in the day, so glad he's going to hop on here with us in the morning. And we'll just chat about some of these players. I'm real curious to see like the strategy behind it, right? Like the players are the players, but was it intentional to go and design things through what appears to be defense first? And like, just, I'm just so fascinated by the process now of like, how does this work? I'm fascinated to hear what it's like on the recruiting trail, recruiting for the Shockers right now, what it's like with the NIL resources right now. Like all of that stuff's going to be really interesting to hear from Coach Mills tomorrow. So that'll be at 7:15 tomorrow morning. So make sure you're in for that. Shocker fans, if you can't be there, if you miss it, of course, you can always find it on the Odyssey app as you can all our stuff. We'll have Felix Johnson in tomorrow as well. Talk a little NFL. It's been moderately quiet since the NFL schedule release. Not a lot of news. What's the next big calendar event?
What probably OTAs at this point?
Yeah, I guess. Brock Purdy signed a deal. You spend 1 minute on that. We might talk about this more tomorrow, but Brock Purdy got his deal. 5 years, $100 million guaranteed, $265 million. That puts him at about, you know, $50 million a year, but the hundred, look, he's seventh at the position by his contract right now. Dak, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, Tua, all higher. Honestly, I would say that's a pretty job well done on both sides there. That feels about right, doesn't it? For what he's accomplished, like that feels about right.
And he's got a full no trade clause, so he gets to basically control his future.
I mean, would you rather have him at that contract or Dak at his, Trevor Lawrence for his, Jordan Love at his, Tua Tagovailoa?
I'd rather have Brock Purdy. I'd rather have Purdy at his.
I think both sides did a really nice job there. All right, that'll do it for us on a Monday. Again, stay weather aware out there, everybody. Keep an eye on things. Tomorrow, we've got Paul Mills bright and early. So make sure you're tuned in early and ready to roll here with us on Sports Daily as well. We'll have Felix Johnson tomorrow, too. late baseball for the Royals tonight. Tommy, we'll see you Tuesday.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Going to be, you get the coffee on bright and early tomorrow morning, but looking forward to it.
That's right. For Tommy and Max, I'm Jacob. See you then.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.